IFPRI Policy Seminar, Input Subsidy Programs in Developing Countries, What Works, What Doesn't, and Why, held on April 18, 2013 in Washington, D.C. Speaker Shahidur Rashid from IFPRI.
Good afternoon, everyone. That was a very comprehensive presentation. You probably have heard everything that we had to hear about African Subsidy Program. What I'm going to present, where is my slide? All right, what I'm going to share is some experiences from Asia-Africa comparison. And I have co-authors there, Dr. Paul Doroche and M.K. Mujeri. None of them are here, which is good for me. If there is a tough question, I'll say, ask Paul. Okay, so what am I going to do? I'm going to talk about three things. Number one, in comparing, I'll begin with the endowment. What are the differences in endowments, natural endowments between the two continents? And when I'm talking about Asia, I'm talking basically about four countries: India, Pakistan, Indonesia, and Bangladesh. Okay, so we begin with the irrigation potential. If you look at it, you see that in most of the Asian countries, 56% of the land are irrigated. If you compare that with Eastern Africa, that is 0.28%. But the potential may be much higher. That's what we need to know more clearly. What are the potential? Okay. My second one, you probably have heard this piece of information many times, that fertilizer application rate in Asia is so high, why is it only about 10 kilograms in Africa? So here, these are the numbers from India. If you look at them, what you see is that in irrigated land, they have the higher use of fertilizer. When it comes to non-irrigated land, it's not much different from Africa. The numbers that we have from Ethiopia, farmers who use fertilizer, they use up to 40 kilograms of fertilizer, sometimes 80 kilograms. So I don't see much of a difference in here. And here is another one. If you go back to the early years of Green Revolution, most of the fertilizer in these countries were imported. But over time, that has changed. And that has changed, again, because of the endowment, which is natural gas, which is the main ingredient, inputs to your fertilizer production. Okay, here we go. That has happened despite rapid expansion of the fertilizer use in the continent, in those four countries. 7 times increase in India, Indonesia, and Bangladesh. And compare that with Africa, from 70s, 2.3 million metric tons to 4.3 million metric tons. Okay, next one. This is from my Director General's earlier work. I just copied it. So if you look at it, in Asia, it was not about only subsidies. Things went hand in hand. If you look at the complementary investment, they were much higher in the early years of Green Revolution. And subsidies started going up only in the later years. I have to clarify one more thing in there, which is when you're looking at the rapid growth in subsidy, it's not because of the input subsidy. It is because of supporting safety nets and stabilizing market prices and running public distribution type program in that continent. So that's what is going on. If you look at the subsidy in fertilizer alone, we just looked at it in the 10 years, it was $220 million. So it was not, fertilizer subsidy itself was not a big component. Okay, so I pick another slide from earlier publication by Schengen Fan and other. So consistently what you see, the returns to public resources, complementary investment in rural development, in infrastructure, rank number one or number two. They are right there. And if you look at the returns to subsidies, they remain below. Okay, now looking forward, what are the challenges then? Do we get some information from Africa where we can say some positive stories? So I picked these numbers. a comparison of the retail price with Ethiopia and some of the neighboring countries. You see quite a bit of differences. Ethiopian price is about 85% of the Kenya price in case of DAP, 84% in case of urea. If you go to Malawi, it's even higher. Now, why did it happen? Well, IPRI has done a book. If you see that, that investment, let me go back. It happened because of the investment in infrastructure, and what we find in in-depth studies from Ethiopia is the transaction cost has declined significantly. If you just look at the price, at Djibouti price, and prices at the retail, you see a consistent decline over time. So the returns to the public investment in reducing transactions cost has a payoff, and that essentially increases profitability of your fertilizer use. Okay. I will finish with these 2 points. Now, looking forward, what do we have? We are talking about these challenges, but we have some good news. That comes from technology. Number one is, given this new technology that we are dealing in, is a potential for exploring natural gas, which is a key ingredient for fertilizer, is much higher today than ever before. So that can bring fertilizer prices down. Second thing that we debated over the workshop is that while all the marginal return that we're looking at, returns to fertilizer application, they are not good. They are not good because while we have very little information about the soil, returns to fertilizer depends on what kind of soil you apply to. And we have very little knowledge about it. And we need better knowledge on that. So again, there are hopes in that because of effort, I think partly because of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation initial initiative, that to understand, better understand the soil in sub-Saharan Africa, and Ethiopia actually has started a program, is called the Ethiosis, which will produce the first comprehensive soil map of the country. When you have that kind of map and information, we'll have much better understanding of targeting all of these fertilizer programs and increasing productivity in the future. With that, thank you very much.